Hello and welcome to Spirit Call. I'm your host, Jenny Duranis, and this is the podcast where I share my thoughts, experiences, and questions along the spiritual path as a psychic medium. My goal with this podcast is to share my story, to offer support and guidance to those that walk along the path beside me. Here you'll find mediumship, tarot, numerology, psychic investigation, and true stories in the life of a professional medium. I'm so glad you found the show. Let's begin. Hey everyone, it's time for a fraudulent physical medium update. It has been exactly 1 year since I attended the conference in Albany, New York, where I caught a so-called physical medium and psychic surgeon faking spiritual healings and phenomena, claiming to be our deceased loved ones materializing in a darkened room in a séance setting. So if you are just finding this podcast now, I suggest you go back and listen to episodes 22, 23, 29, 30, 31, 35, 36, and 37. This is part 8, 1 year later, updates on the fraud. I'm going to share with you some of the experience I haven't previously shared in those episodes. We're going to talk about red flags in spiritual communities. We're going to talk about some of the things that have happened since the last episode that I released. And forgive me if this goes all over the place, because as usual, this story is super complicated and crazy. And just before we get into this episode, I would like to let all of the listeners who consider themselves a physical medium or who follow the so-called physical mediums that I am speaking about in these episodes know that if you take offense to the things that I am saying, if it disappoints you, if you do not like what I have to say in this episode, please feel free to carry on. I do not need to hear from you. I am presenting this information to help future victims of this abuse to steer clear from the things that I experienced in my 10 months in the physical mediumship community. And I would like to name the abuse that I experienced as spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional abuse, as well as sexual abuse by so-called physical mediums in dark seances. A year later, I am now able to voice this truth, and I will not tolerate victim shaming or accusations that I am doing this for publicity or anything of the sort. If this information is not something you want to hear, feel free to move along. For everyone else, please keep an open mind as you listen, and let's get into it. So to very quickly recap my story, in June of 2023, I attended a conference at Lilydale, New York, and it was titled Physical Mediumship in Victorian Times. It was a really interesting looking conference because as a mental medium of 8 years at the time, I was looking for something fun and new ways to stretch my mediumship abilities. And so going to experiment with things like table tipping, spoon bending, transfiguration, trance mediumship, spiritual healing was really appealing to me. But when I signed up for this conference, I was invited to attend evening dark seances in somebody's home outside of Lilydale. And this started my journey into physical mediumship, the world of dark seances, and the crazy things that these so-called physical mediums are claiming to be able to do, which ended in my exposing one particular person. And that is what you will find in the previous episodes on this topic. So a lot of people have asked, what has happened since then? What are the updates? Because it's been a few months since you've heard about it. And so I wanted to come back in to bring those updates to you and to let you know the thoughts that I have about physical mediumship, about this community that I found myself in for 10 months of my life, and where I'm at now with my beliefs. Because as I listen back over those episodes, I realize how much I was presenting the information as if this stuff was possible. And so I want to update you on where I'm at. So to start from the beginning of the end of where we left off, the last episode came out and it was an interview with Arthur Rocha, who was one of the people who attended the dark seance that we have the new footage of this particular person faking a seance. And so back in 2016, he was caught on film. And then again in 2024, August of 2024, he was caught again. And if you're wondering why it's so hard to catch these people on film, it is because they claim that any kind of technology or light in a dark seance could literally kill them. So there are a lot of manipulative tactics that go into this abuse and this fraud that keep people from being able to prove what is actually happening. And what is actually happening is that these individuals are claiming to be chosen ones, people with special abilities, gifted by spirit, that they have a special spirit team that is working with them on the other side to bring messages, healing, and physical materializations of deceased people to the people, or what we call the sitters, in a dark seance. And so this story is long and twisted, and it covers over 100 years of spiritualism, you know, back to the Victorians, sitting around the table tipping and listening for raps and knocks on the walls. And unfortunately, these old stories, to me, were something that gave these people, it made them seem a little bit kind of legit, because you're kind of told as you enter this community that you are part of history in the making, that this is something that we are continuing the hard work of spirit to bring more and more mind-blowing and amazing manifestations of what spirit is capable of through certain gifted people. And so for a time I entertained this as possible. And it's actually a really complicated story about how I got to the place of believing in these things. And it has a lot to do with the Kundalini yoga stuff that I was doing at the time. And I'm going to save that for a future episode that's more focused about me, because this is a fraud update. I don't want to mix the two necessarily, but I have always been somebody who has believed that there are untapped potentials in the human body, or that we have maybe DNA that has been switched off after generations of ignoring our intuition, or, you know, not tapping into or holding on to our psychic abilities, our healing abilities. I think that there is some truth to that. I think that we're at a time on the planet when we aren't as powerful as we once were. However, these people are taking it to the extreme and fooling a lot of innocent, grieving people. So, what are they doing? There's so many stories that I haven't shared that I almost don't know where to begin, but let me stay focused on the updates. So I was saying the last episode was with Arthur. And since then, one of the big concerns that I had was, will he be successful at coming back, or going, I don't live in the States, but going back to New York, Albany, New York, to hold his scheduled conference in April of 2025, which is right now. And the answer to that is no. That conference was successfully canceled. I have saved 90 some people from being scammed and abused by these people. And I just want to say that not everyone involved in organizing that conference is guilty of this fraud. I think that they have also been manipulated, lied to, and fooled. So please do not attack anybody who is there as a supporting role. But unfortunately, many of the people who were comfortable continuing to be associated with this abuse didn't back out from the conference, to my knowledge. Their faces and names and bios were on the website. And it just shows you that sometimes it isn't only about helping people. Sometimes there are things that people do to make money. I mean, simply put, follow the money in these circles. And unfortunately, that's what it appears, in my opinion, to be what was going on there. So the conference was canceled, and I can't tell you what a celebration it was to find that out. Of course, they claimed that it was because there were not enough attendees committing and paying their fees to attend, but actually it's because he is not allowed to enter the United States because he never had a valid work visa and he now can't get a work visa to come to the States. So please know again that there have been lies about why this conference was canceled. But I have heard from a few people that a lot of the people weren't committing because of the work that I have done to expose this one individual. And so again, that is a success. I've also received a couple of screenshots in the recent weeks of other physical mediums claiming that they are being mistrusted now because of the video of this person. And so thankfully, the evidence and proof that this one person is a fraud is helping to make people question all of them. And that's what we need. I only focused on one person because he is the one that I saw with my very own eyes in person. But of course, after leaving the conference and seeing what I saw, I had to go back over all of my experiences with all of the five different physical mediums that I did sit with. And now I know that those seances were also fake. In episode 35, I interviewed Susan Barnes, who is the host of the conference that I attended in Lilydale. And the big concern for me at the time was, how were these frauds, known frauds, invited to offer workshops on Lilydale grounds when 75 years ago, physical mediumship was banned, like I said. And her explanation was that Lilydale approved these people to come and teach based on her request to host her conference. And I even spoke to the office there, and they said that basically it was a preseason event and Sue was in charge of inviting these people there, and that they didn't do much research into their background. And because the workshops or talks or presentations during that conference were held in the light, they weren't breaking their own rules about physical mediumship on the property. But unfortunately, since then, there has been another conference that Sue has hosted. She said it was a great conference. And, you know, I'm really torn with what I think is appropriate here to do, because I think that the topics, like I have said, are fun, spoon bending and table tipping, generally aren't going to cause anybody any harm. But I've just come across a couple of workshops that are scheduled for the 2025 season on the Lilydale website. And I came across a post on Facebook today. There's been a few interviews with so-called physical mediums posted to the Lilydale Facebook page. There is a scheduled precipitated art seance in one of the buildings on Lilydale property just 3 days after their opening season of 2025. Apparently, it's going to be conducted in the light, and the topic is the history of precipitated art, which, in case you're wondering what that is, this is the story that if you provide spirit with the materials, so in the past, a canvas or a piece of paper, more present day, you will see, you know, a piece of paper and some markers put in the middle of the room, turn out the lights, conduct the seance. When you turn the lights back on, hopefully there's going to be some precipitated art. And the story goes is that spirit will dematerialize the ink or the, you know, the graphite or whatever materials you put in the room, rearrange them, impress their magical energies on the canvas or paper, and when you turn on the light, there will be a message or an image for one of the sitters in the room. So the fraud, I would say, doesn't even try. You can go look at some of the photos online that people have shared. It's really heartbreaking because he is going on people's social media accounts, taking pictures of their deceased loved ones, clipping and cropping out the background details, printing it out on a piece of paper, crumpling it up, and then scribbling on top of it and smuggling it in, probably in his crotch like he does everything else, into the seance room. And, you know, again, my opinion, it's all fraud. I mean, it's very easy to research the people that received these images and find the same images of their loved ones on social media. I mean, we share when we've lost someone, right? But anyway, back to Lilydale. So this is a workshop / seance that is being done in the light with two of these so-called physical mediums. And you know, the request is to bring crayons, 3x5 index cards, and a precipitation box. So it looks like sitters will put their supplies in a box and that they will hope to receive a message on these cards. Now, I'm pretty sure that there will probably be a cabinet and that the male medium will probably be duct taped over his mouth and put into the cabinet, only to emerge with, you know, some kind of art somewhere. Because I have seen, I mean, I'm just assuming here, right? But I know that in the conference in 2024, that that's what happened. That it was, nope, it's done in the light. We're not breaking any of the rules. We're free to do this because people can see that they're not being scammed. However, if there's a cabinet in the room with a closed curtain, I would like you to think about that. And the biggest concern is that it gives physical mediums, the public physical mediums who are traveling and making money on seances, it gives them a platform to share about their work that they're doing outside of Lilydale. So people are meeting them in Lilydale, a place that is supposed to be trustworthy and have a long history of, you know, being the mediumship center of of Casadega, New York. Like, you're supposed to be able to trust these people, is what I'm trying to say here. And for them, excuse me, to have this precipitated art seance, I think that they're pushing it. I think they're pushing it. And so I might have to reach out to them and see what they have to say about it. I have also noticed that Lilydale has two other workshops scheduled in the 2025 season as well. One on August 1st with someone who has written a book on physical mediumship. And it says, the description says, physical mediumship, where spirits of the departed speak or interact directly with the living, is a rare but very real phenomenon. Learn more about firsthand accounts of direct voice materialization seances. Receive valuable information on table tipping, psychic photography, electronic voice phenomena, spirit slate writing, trumpet mediumship, spirit cabinet, and materialization, plus a demonstration of table tipping. So again, this sounds like an interesting presentation. The thing is, I've read the book by this author that this presentation is based on. And in the acknowledgments on the first couple of pages, she references the so-called physical mediums that she has learned all of this information from. And guess who they are? I don't think I have to tell you here. I think it's pretty obvious. So once again, Lilydale has a very misleading event. I mean, for it to say rare but very real phenomena, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the number of budding mediums that are going to stumble upon this workshop and go to this and get involved with this abusive community that I found myself in for 10 months of my life. And still another workshop for July 15th, 2025, titled Physical Mediumship Basics. Physical mediumship occurs when the spirit world manipulates physical objects. It ranges from simple table tipping to full materialization. Experience working with spirit to create messages through objects, including trumpets, talking boards, table tipping, spoon bending, scrying, photography, and slate writing experiments. So, experimenting, in my opinion, fantastic. Having a fun workshop experience while trying out the things that the Victorian mediums did 100 years ago, so fun. But Lilydale presenting physical mediumship as a rare and real phenomena after having visited and experienced what I experienced, it scares me a little. So what do you guys think I should do? What should we do? Should we contact Lilydale? I mean, they're just going to say, I assume, that they're doing these things in the light. But what about the ethics? What about the moral consequences of spreading this information as though it were real? And I respect that there are a lot of people who still believe, who want to believe, who have had their own experiences. But if we have actual evidence of fraud, why are we okay with promoting physical mediumship? There needs to be a line somewhere. And yeah, it just scares me a little. And something that I want you all to keep in mind, especially if you're thinking about joining any kind of spiritual community that kind of twists your sense of reality or what is possible, and, you know, other beings, other levels, other dimensions, is that it can be a slow eroding of your sense of reality that ends up in a pretty, you know, puts you in a pretty unbelievable place that you otherwise wouldn't have gotten yourself to, right? For me, it was like, these people are crazy. Okay, maybe this is possible. All right, that was really interesting. To now I believe, to wait a second, there's a lot of red flags. Thankfully, I held on to those red flags because I was studying to see if this stuff is possible and if maybe I could also do this, to then, oh shit, I've been fooled. And essentially, there is a grooming process that is involved here. And I just want to also bring awareness to the fact that this isn't just in the physical mediumship community, it's in many spiritual communities where your beliefs, your reality, your ability to question, you know, the red flags are there, but you're gaslit. There's a lot of it. A lot of it, and it's very damaging. And so, you know, hopefully I can find some way to continue to educate and bring awareness to all of the groups or all of the ways that this is happening. But I think that, unfortunately, a lot of people were not willing to have their beliefs challenged. And I think that is completely understandable given what I now know about manipulation and culty communities like this. So I did receive a couple questions about this on Instagram, and one of them was, has there been backlash? And I think that generally I've actually been very supported in this. Even still today, I receive the odd message of people saying that they've found my podcast, they've watched the videos, and they're thanking me for doing the work that I did. I will continue to speak about this forever, but yes, there has been backlash, but nothing that I can't handle. Is he still doing conferences? Like I said, it's canceled. And so he's banned from what I understand, Australia, the US, and I can't comment on Switzerland right now. How many people who believed in him now don't because you have exposed the truth? I couldn't say exactly how many people. I couldn't say. But I'm going to say a large percentage of the people who were closing in on being connected with this person or newly connected with this person. I do think that some of the people who've been with him a little bit longer are much harder or much more resistant to seeing the truth, unfortunately. But a lot of people. I have no exact number. I wish I did. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? So what else has happened since then? Oh, he recently released, or should I say the scientist who claims to be doing these scientific studies on these physical mediums, has recently put up a video on YouTube of some of their experiments, and William made an appearance in this video. Now, I haven't been able to stomach watching the whole video, and I'm not going to comment on people who think that I need to watch the whole thing. Because at this point, it's very obvious what is happening. And what I find most interesting about William's appearance in these videos is that for the first time for me, he appears on the medium's stomach. So if you're wondering who William is, please go back a few episodes. But to recap here, William is the supposed ectoplasmic head that forms inside the cabinet and will come out to look around, have facial expressions, and say hello to everyone. People have touched him. People have photographed him. But he doesn't talk. He has never had eyes that I have seen. And he's been described as feeling like plastic. And that, my friends, is because he is made of plastic. William is actually a Halloween mask that this man is claiming will eventually be able to look like your deceased loved ones. Think about that for a moment. He is claiming that if you go to enough seances, if enough people sit with him, if he has enough practice and spirit has enough practice at working with him as a very special individual, that your deceased loved ones will be able to show you their faces. And he even told me that eventually they will be able to speak to you. I want you to think about the abusive situation that is happening here for more than 2 seconds and let me know if we should continue allowing this to happen. Now, again, some people are going to say, who the fuck would believe that's possible in the first place? And I would like to remind you that there is a manipulation and grooming process involved. Okay. So William has made an appearance in these scientific studies, but this time he is not a head that is poking out of the toilet tent that he sits in. He is coming out of the jumpsuit zipper crotch onto his stomach. And there are a series of photos that you can see where it's like the top of his head and then a little bit more of his head and then his face is poking out. And then there's one where from like the whole head to the neck is poking out of this guy's pants. And there's a dent in it because it's plastic and it's hollow. And it's just a picture of him sitting there zip tied to a chair with a Halloween mask on his stomach. And this scientist is wholeheartedly trying to claim that this is a spirit head, that this is real phenomena developed out of this guy's pants. So I'm assuming that they're saying that it's an ectoplasmic cord coming out of his belly button. I'm assuming, but this is ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd. And so the argument is going to be, but he's zip tied to the chair. But I would like you to pay close attention to the wrinkles and folds on his clothing, on his sleeves, and look and see, are they the same in each photo? And they're not. The answer is they're not. A quick scan of the photos can show you he's taken his arms in and out to manipulate this mask in his pants. Let's just use our brains a little bit, okay, guys? So this is the type of thing that is somehow giving him a legit reputation. And I feel heartbroken for the people who are waiting for their loved ones to show up. Again, we need to focus on this. It's one thing to go to a fun, spooky night for entertainment. It's another thing to go hoping that your child, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your grandparents are going to show up in this way, because they're not. In fact, they're not showing up at all in the way that he claims. And again, to remind yourselves, anytime you ask your loved ones to show up, they do. So if you have felt the presence of your loved ones in one of these seances, it probably was them, but it has nothing to do with the con man in the cabinet. So, you know I'm starting to get a little bit worked up here about this, but a year later, it is just as triggering as it was then in my efforts to protect people, right? But it's just a matter of time before something else happens and something else happens and something else. I would like to share with you some of the other things that I have witnessed this person perform, because, you know, I had enough content for those 8 episodes just in 2 seances that I sat in with him, but I sat in more with him. And in fact, at the the opening night of the conference in Albany in 2024, he did a seance for 90 people. And this is something that I think people are forgetting. I think I say 90, that's apparently how many people were at the conference. There was a lot of people. So there was a conference room that was blacked out, and the chairs were set up in, not a circle, but like U-shaped layers, rings, around the center of the room. And there was basically a catwalk down the middle of the room. And I was on the innermost row, so closest to the tent and the center of the room where he was walking around. And I want to remind people, you know, if let's say you were in those other two seances with me, or any of the other exactly the same seances that he did that week, and you want to believe what you saw there, let's look at the seance with 90 people. So in this seance, similar situation, music goes on, tent does the tornado, he comes out, everyone in the middle row gets touched on the knee, but I noticed that nobody behind me, nobody at the very edge of the room, nobody in the corner, nobody was experiencing the phenomena. And if they were, I would ask you to consider, was it just your neighbor that bumped you? Because he was just walking up and down the center of the room. He did the glow-in-the-dark balls. He showed me his naked body with these glow-in-the-dark balls. And at the beginning of the seance, Jimmy asked us what requests they had. And a man who was about four seats to the left of me asked for a scent. Because something that this person also brings into the seances is what we're supposed to believe is like a sacred oil, or a fragranced oil that he has wiped on my face. He has drawn crosses on my forehead pretending to be Mother Mary. And it smells very fruity. It's a smell that you don't really forget. In October of 2023, we described it as smelling like juicy fruit gum. Anyway, I had smelled it before, but this man asked for a scent, an oil, and Jimmy said, "What scent would you like?" And he led us to believe that he was going to materialize any scent or any oil that anyone in the room could suggest. And he said oud, right? That's like that woody smell. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. I can't remember exactly how he said it, but Jimmy said, "Okay, we can do that." And so soon after the phenomena started happening, I started to smell a scent. And red flag, actually, number one of the conference was, wait a second, this is that juicy fruit smell from October. But this man asked for a different scent. Why does it smell exactly the same? So I know what my brain does when I am gaslighting myself, because I've been taught to gaslight myself by people who are gaslighting me. And I was like, well, maybe spirit just wasn't successful with that experiment. Like, you have to remember, he's calling everything an experiment. So if it doesn't work, it was never guaranteed to work in the first place. And he always has this to fall back on. So just another form of manipulation, right? So this scent is wafting through the room as he walks around, again, shows us his naked body. And then one of the things that he pulled out in this 90-person seance to impress a room of people was he claimed that one of his other guides, who I haven't mentioned before, Mrs. Barnaby, was in connection with one of the sitters' deceased loved ones. So there's always this portrayal of like the medium zip-tied to the chair in the tent, the spirit guide speaking through the medium, and in this case, Jimmy was speaking to Mrs. Barnaby on the other side, and Mrs. Barnaby on the other side was speaking to the sitter's deceased loved ones. And she was telling Jimmy, and Jimmy was speaking through the medium, and we were receiving the message as a group. And of course, I don't remember the exact details, but he said, Mrs. Barnaby's telling me the first name of this person, and this is her last name, and this is the day that she passed away. And someone said, oh my God, that's my relative. And then he gave another name and date of passing. Oh my gosh. And she starts to cry. And then he gave a pet's name. And she said, that's my dog. And what I thought, again, red flag number two of the conference was, well, what day did the dog pass away? Why don't you have that information? And the reason for that, in my opinion, is because that's not as easily Googled in obituaries. So, you know, you have to pay attention to every single detail like this, but these are the things that I experienced. And it's fucking mind-blowing, the shit that's going on. What else happened in that seance? Yes, there were some healings. Some people from the other rows were called up to the center of the room to have healings, and they had to stumble and climb over rows of people. Now, keep in mind, the chairs are butted right up against each other in this room. It was very stuffy, very hot, a lot of people, and in complete darkness. So an older gentleman was called up and to have a healing, and I was sitting beside his twin sister, and she started bawling because she was so thankful that her brother was receiving the healing that he needed. And when I left there, I thought of her, and I thought of him, and I thought of the many people who are going to these individuals for healing when they are having life-threatening illnesses. And one of the seance reports that his circle leader put up about the seance that we have the footage from August of 2024, she claims that Abraham, this person's other supposed healing guide, took away stage 4 cancer from a woman who is now healed and pregnant and living her life. So we've got cancer claims, and he's been investigated for cancer claims in the past. So, you know, please, if you've listened to any of these episodes, if you're still listening, speak up. If you have had an experience, please speak up. Imagine your loved one choosing to go to this fraud for healing instead of seeking medical treatment. People have passed away with cancer because of these so-called healers. What other updates can I share with you? So you may remember the Facebook group that was created called the Physical Mediumship Transparency Initiative. And this was created by Chris Connolly. A lot of the supporters have criticized the mission of that Facebook group because they have said that we're not going to put restrictions on spirit. We're going to do physical mediumship the way spirit tells us to do it, which actually means that the frauds are the ones dictating that things need to be done in total darkness. And so you can understand what's going on there. But that Facebook group has been paused. All of the information is still there. All of the posts that I made last year are still there. But Chris has moved on to other things in life. He's no longer involved with the mediumship world. He's doing his own thing. And so he has given me control of that Facebook group. But just to clarify, I didn't start that Facebook group. And it's not exactly how I would have structured it or what I would have named it if it was my group. But at the time, it was the best place for us all to connect and share information about fraudulent physical mediumship. And so for now, I'm going to hold on to it, but you may in the future notice that the name and the mission of that group will be changed. And if it's not something that aligns with you, please feel free to leave the group, but you'll see some updates there. So if anyone is wondering, where have all of Chris's posts gone? How come he's not in the group anymore? I can't speak for him, but he has told me that he's just done dealing with this stuff. I'm sure there's more to come from these YouTube videos that have been released, and I can't wait to see the claims that he makes about William. I was kind of hoping that William was going to retire. In fact, he threatened in his own podcast that he started in an effort to respond to me in his own way, that when somebody criticizes the hard work of spirit in seances, the spirit team will have to stop and work on something else. It's like, you damaged it, you ruined it, you ruined it for everybody. Now we're going to have to start from scratch and work on something else. He said that in his podcast. So I was expecting William to disappear, but now apparently he just comes out of his pants. That's what he does. He just comes out of his pants. So some of the other things that I have seen him do. In October, in Schenectady, I was in a seance with, I'm not sure exactly how many people, 10 to 15 people. So it was a small group in this old Airbnb mansion place that they had rented, which, by the way, had many different rooms and, I shouldn't say many different rooms. It had many options for sneaking out of the cabinet and going and grabbing a sheet or anything that he could get his hands on to claim that it was spirit. But in this one seance, he covered himself in white sheets. Now, I would say that this was probably the most ballsy, other than William, and impressively done tricks. He must have done it inside of the tent or around behind it, but he covered himself in layers of white sheets and walked around the room. Now, it was like a ghost, you know, like the typical, you put sheets over your head and so it covers your face and hands and feet. It was like a ghost, but he walked around the room, went person to person. Some people got to touch the fabric. It was described as linen. And then was bowing with prayer hands to people until someone finally said, "I think that this is the Blessed Mother." So he's pretending to be Mother Mary again. And this is the same seance where he drew crosses in the air and put the juicy fruit on my forehead, and then went back over beside the cabinet and stood with arms outstretched, and then like dematerialized, and that's kind of how it looked. Now you got to remember, this is darkened conditions, and in this case I think there was a strip of LED blue lights on for this trick. And so your eyes are kind of darting and jumping. And I don't know where the sheets went. I'm sure we just turned off the lights because, you know, the lights are on and off. And he just went and shoved it like in the closet, or there was a bedroom just off of the seance room. Like there were lots of options. Let's put it that way. So it's ridiculous. He's claiming to be Mother Mary, but no, it was just a guy walking around. And the thing that I noticed most, other than the fact that it had no face, because it couldn't have a face because it was him, was that the feet were shaped like his feet And they were thick, like the thick pair of snowflake socks that he had on. Like, it was just like, oh, this is Mother Mary's foot, like a big, wide, padded looking foot. Like, it's just, this is ridiculous. I can't believe I'm saying this stuff. But it's what's happened, and it's what is happening. So, the basic updates are the YouTube video, the conference was canceled, and that he has more restrictions on where he can do this fraud. So his options are dwindling, and we shall see. We shall see what happens this year. People are still sending me screenshots, and I will make every effort to keep you updated on him. So real quick, some of the other outrageous things that I have seen them claim and perform is apports, different objects coming out of their mouths, eyes, ears, nose, belly button. One of them claims to have a spout form in his belly button from which sacred oils will drip into a jar, and then he sells them conveniently. He has also, I mean, typically a bazillion gems will come out of his mouth when you turn the light on. And what I think is interesting is that there is a story of the fraud that I exposed and another well-known physical medium having their spirit teams team up together to bring an item back to someone. I think it was a missing item. And what I've noticed is that this one once did a seance with this one, or this one had a phenomena that was connected to this one's seance. And so if one is a fraud, then the other one has to be, because otherwise there wouldn't be cooperation between spirit teams and all of this talk. And so I've been able to connect all of them together in one way or another. Some of them have teamed up and done seances at the same time in the man's house near Lilydale. And yet something will happen to one of them where they will say, oh, this one's a fraud now. But then how could it have been such a powerful cooperation between spirit teams, you know, a year prior, for example? So you got to do some research here. You have to dig. The other one who claims to have all these apports once told me that he apported a live gerbil from his belly button, as well as a live snake. He claims to work with the Ascended Masters. He is also the person who has kissed me and touched much of my body in the dark. And he's also the person who claimed to be Lady Nada and told me that I was going to have an immaculate conception. And that was damaging to me. And so I know that I speak about all of these experiences in a sort of kind of lighthearted, kind of making fun of it way, but there's a lot of healing that is taking place that I'm going through right now. I'm peeling back a lot of layers and processing a lot of the abuse that's happened. And so again, my reason for protecting other people is to keep them from experiencing what I've experienced. So just some final red flags. If you are thinking about joining the spiritualist or physical mediumship community, or any spiritual community that has some pretty, maybe seemingly cool views in the beginning, look for where is there an us versus them situation. In the physical mediumship community, it was that skeptics are always going to rip apart physical mediumship, that it's always been this way. Houdini was the main enemy, you know, and he investigated people in Lilydale. He was very active in debunking all of this, all of these tricks. But the story that we were given was that there are always going to be people damaging the hard work of spirit. And those people are simply just skeptics. There's nothing you can do. And also limited in their ability to grasp these concepts, that these things are possible. They just don't know enough about it. Even mental mediums don't know enough about physical mediumship, and therefore they shouldn't have a say and they should mind their own business. So this us versus them also turns the so-called physical mediums into victims, because they are portraying themselves as people who are doing really hard work, sacrificing their health, their well-being, in an effort to allow spirit to work with them. Because, you know, the story goes, physical mediumship is very draining on the body. A lot of people end up with hormonal disruptions, diabetes. Some mediums, you know, the story goes that they've died from doing physical mediumship. So this us versus them and victim mentality in any spiritual group that you become involved with, if you see that the one who is bringing the light, the one who is the chosen one, is also a victim, or even refers to themselves as a special gifted person. I mean, that right there is a red flag, right? But this persecution for the sacrifices that they have made for the betterment of humankind is a similarity in many of these culty spiritual groups. So look for that. Any spiritual group that asks you to override your genuine emotions and feelings in an effort to remain positive so that you don't bring the vibe of the event, experience, you know, study group, whatever it is, if you are not allowed to have your genuine emotions and it's all in an effort to keep the vibe positive, that's a big deal. Pay attention. If there are any beliefs that you are told, you know, like just adopt this belief, and if you don't see it this way, it is probably because you aren't advanced enough, you aren't enlightened enough, or your perception of the situation is off. That's gaslighting. So don't let anybody tell you that there are spiritual concepts, spiritual levels, spiritual layers, dimensions, things that you don't easily have access to just simply because you're you. You know, and I know that in essence, like that would apply to mental mediumship as well. But I think that with a little bit of understanding of how it works, that becomes much more available and clear to every person, right? I do believe that every person has the ability to be a medium. So that's a different episode. But essentially, if it's like, you just don't know enough, hang around long enough, be around us long enough, be in this energy long enough, and then you'll start to see it, that's a problem. The topic of ascension and raising the frequency of the planet is getting really old. I actually recently saw a reel of some lady who claims to be channeling the Galactic Council, and much like Bashar, you know, Bashar, he claims to channel an ET. it's the same thing over and over and over again. We are here to uplift humanity. Enough. Enough with the ascension, with the frequency, with the upgrades. All of those things come from cults. I'm going to say it. It's a culty manipulation tactic to get people to follow along. And I don't see any proof, actually, that ascension is a thing. I have been on this journey. You know, I started doing Reiki over 20 years ago. I'm not sure that I have any evidence that anything is changing in terms of human beings' frequency, their openness, their vibration, upgrading, and moving beyond the struggles and the real life pain that's happening on the planet in front of our very eyes. You know, the story goes that we're gonna, if you are high enough vibration, those things just aren't gonna exist to you. And unfortunately, that's not true. So, in my opinion, leave behind anything connected to ascension, raising vibrations. Like, you know, you want to have healthy energetic hygiene. That's one thing. But meditating more each day, because you are one more person who is meditating, who is going to tip the scale to put the planet in a higher frequency. That's a lot of pressure for one person. It's a lot of pressure. And it comes with a lot of manipulation of your true self. So pay attention. If you can't ask questions, or the community beliefs cannot stand up to scrutinizing, if the people that you are connected with cannot answer your questions openly and honestly, and they are not getting triggered and calling you skeptic or threatening to not let you come back, if they can't do that, that's a red flag. And I would like to end this episode by reminding you all that your spirituality cannot be measured. It is not something that someone else can determine for you. Your spiritual connection to your chosen higher power is personal to you. Nobody can tell you if you are spiritual or not. Nobody can tell you if you are spiritual enough. Nobody can tell you what a spiritual person looks, talks, and acts like. Nobody can tell you what a spiritual person eats. Nobody can tell you how a spiritual person speaks and what language they choose to use. None of those things are okay for another person to be dictating to you. And any community that has strong beliefs and forces them on you is not a good place to be, and you should walk away. So I could still talk about this for hours, but I'm going to save some of the conversation for the interview that I did with Hannah McIntyre, Mediumship Matters podcast. The next season of her podcast is going to start June 1st. And from there, you'll have to listen to all of her episodes until you find the one where I was interviewed about this experience. And we might be welcoming questions, because we're assuming that a lot of her listeners are going to have a lot of questions about this physical mediumship stuff. So yeah, stay tuned, be patient. Thank you so much for listening, and take care.